Thank you for taking the time to share in Truth Infusion Ministries. Support for this radio program comes from your generous gifts and donations. You can find out more about David Markham and the Truth Infusion team at www.truthinfusion.com.
You will never win a spiritual battle with earthly weapons. The enemy wants you to fight that way, but you'll lose every time.
The anointed preaching of the Word of God is like infusing strong medicine into a sick body. The modern day church is sick, and what it really needs is an infusion of the truth. Hello, truth seekers. My name is Corey Callicutt, and welcome to Truth Infusion, the radio aspect of Truth Infusion Ministries. It is our prayer that in the next 30 minutes, God Himself will infuse life-giving truth into your heart. With that in mind, here's Pastor David Markham with this week's infusion of the truth.
The desire to take the place of God so far as their life goes. When we negotiate the truth, when you know what God says, but you find that you're okay with dealing with life on your own terms, and you spin truth and you build a strong tower against the truth, here's what you're in effect doing. You're saying, I know what you had to say. I understand this is your way. I'm going to do it my way. Thank you very much. And you close the door on God. And you open the door up to a bad mindset and wrong emotions. Verse 6, so when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant. That word pleasant is attractive and delightful. It was pleasant to her eyes. Now, here's a very important part. And the tree was desirable to make one wise. She took of its fruit and ate. Now, listen. Let me tie this part together. I'm going to teach you something right here. If you don't already know this, this is good information. Once the mind is deceived, emotional manipulation follows. The enemy's desire is to influence us to think wrongly. It's that situation in your life that you start thinking about and you don't shut it off, and before you know it, you're worried to death. Anybody ever done that besides me? Who in the room has ever had the conversation with the person? They're not there. You don't even know if you're ever going to have the conversation, but you've planned every single way it could possibly go. You ever done that one? Okay, I know this is an issue, and there's the possibility it could become real in my life, so here's what, and you know how many times in my truck, my steering wheel I was like Perry Mason. I won every argument. But you know what happens when you build that sort of mindset? Before you know it, you are all mixed up on the inside, aren't you? Upset, mad, worried, and that's exactly what the enemy was wanting. Plant a seed of thought. You start allowing the enemy to take your thought life, and as soon as your thought life heads away from God, emotional manipulation comes next. Your thought life goes off track, your emotions follow. Once the mind is deceived, emotional manipulation follows, and then Eve began to desire the fruit. You see the emotional component? From thoughts to desire. When the mind is deceived, watch this, to propagate an ungodly mindset, then the emotions are manipulated to desire the object of temptation, and then sin, the act of sin, is sure to follow. It starts in the mind, it manipulates your emotions, and if you leave it there long enough, you begin to live it out on the outside. That's how this works. That's how it works. So Paul's telling us in 2 Corinthians, we got to kill it when it's here, because whoever owns your mind owns your feet. Whoever owns your mind, be it God or the enemy, owns your feet. You know, your feet can't do anything your mind doesn't tell it to do. Just try it. Your hands can't do anything that your mind doesn't tell it to do. Your mouth can't say anything your mind doesn't tell your mouth to say. Whoever owns control of your mind ultimately owns control of all of it. You don't have to be possessed for that to be the problem. You've got to just open the door of your mind and let the enemy start influencing the way you're thinking. You thought your problem was the drug or the bottle or the website or the person. Your problem is that you're losing the battle of the mind to an enemy that wants to control your body so they can kill and destroy your life. The battlefield of the mind. Third point is this: know your weapons. Know your weapons. 2 Corinthians 10, we read before, says we walk in this flesh, but we do not war according to the flesh. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You cannot win a spiritual battle with earthly weapons. You can't do it. You don't bring a knife to a gunfight. You better watch the Indiana Jones movie. Remember, I think it was the first one, when he turns around, there's that big old dude with that scimitar sword. Remember that part? And that guy's a big old guy, and he's all muscled up, and he starts swinging that sword all around and whipping it like he knows what he's doing. Very intimidating, letting him know, I'm about to handle you. And then what does Harrison Ford do? He pulls his gun out and goes, poof. The end of that. That guy had it going on with that sword. He just didn't know what kind of fight he was in. And the point is easy and obvious to make. You will never win a spiritual battle with earthly weapons. The enemy wants you to fight that way, but you'll lose every time. Carnal weapons, we don't fight with them. What are carnal weapons? They are man-made weapons. They are man-contrived weapons. They are man-empowered weapons. Let me give you examples I know you're with me. Here's what I want you to hear. Man-made programs are not the answer to your emotional issues. 12-step programs are not going to fix the heart issues you have. Because that's a man-made thing, y'all. But we talk about Jesus using a man-made program. That's not the answer to your issue. Listen, self-help books are not going to help. It's a man-made concept. Other people are not your answer. We need one another. We benefit one another. We are not the answer to the stronghold. Accountability partners have their place. They're not what's going to fix it. Sponsors have their place. It's not going to fix it. Dr. Phil can't fix you. Psychology and psychiatry can't fix it. I'm not mad at them. They can help you identify real issues. They're doing it the right way, but they can't fix them. If they could, why are we still there 5 years later talking about the same problems? Hey, sometimes I'm just too for real, I guess. A man can't fix himself, he can't fix you. Our efforts can't fix it. That's a man-made weapon. So, ignoring it will not make it go away. You ever say this like I have? I got to go on vacation, I just need a break. Huh? We like to go to Branson once or twice a year if God lets us do that. Sometimes I'm just ready to go. I'm ready to get away. I'm going to get away. Get away from what? Demons can ride in a Tahoe. And what if you do make it out of town before they know you're leaving? Guess where they're going to be when your tail gets back? Hey, giving it time does not make it pass. Escaping does not make it disappear. You can get home and kick back in the recliner and watch 18 episodes of Andy Griffith. Hey, it'll make you feel better for a while. When you turn the TV off, you got problems to deal with. Boy, you can flip through that phone until your thumb hurts. You set it down at night, turn the lights off, you still got strongholds wearing you out while you're trying to sleep. Weapons of our warfare are mighty in God because they're God-centered, God-sent, God-empowered. So I want to close with this. Know your enemy, know your battlefield, know your weapons. So here's, I told you what the weapons are not. Can I give you just a couple of weapons you can war with? Just for a few minutes and I'll be done. Two things. There's more. Here's two. Number one, one weapon you can take this to the bank is mighty in God. And if you will recognize it to be true and utilize it for what it's worth, it will tear strongholds down in your life. And it's probably not what you think. Here it is. Weapon number one, recognize your divine position. Recognize your divine position. What does that mean? Here, I'm going to say it a different way. You are in Christ. That, if you belong to Him, is the divine position you've been given. You are in Christ. Now, that's not just two words in about 1,000 verses that help us get from the front side of the verse to the back side of the verse. That's not just a bridge from the good part to the other good part. That is the verse. If you don't understand who you are in Christ, you can have none of the verse anyways. You are in, let me just give you an example. Romans 6, verse 3, one of my favorite passages. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ are baptized into His death? You were placed in Him. You were retroactively placed into His death. And everything that happened at the cross is now available for you. Why? Because you believe what the Bible says? No, honey, because you are in the one that died on the cross. You are in Christ, therefore everything that is true of Christ is now true for you. Everything that is true of Christ is true for you. The Bible says you are an heir of God, a joint heir. Anybody ever got money from the family member that passed away? That's never going to happen to me. I've read about that. Uncle so-and-so that you don't even know died. He left you an oil field in Alaska. Well, praise God. I'm an heir. You realize that's what it's talking about, though, right? You are an heir of God, child of God. A joint, you know what joint heir means? It means it got divided up equally. What he got, you got. Think about it. Listen, if you are in Christ, what is true for him is true for you. Let me give you an example. Right out here, not too far from here, is the international airport at Texarkana. One terminal, one runway, three flights a day. Amen. If you and I got on one of them puddle jumpers and we were headed to DFW, right? Let me ask you this. What kind of relationship are you wanting with the plane? You want to be under it? When that thing takes off? Huh? Would you like to be hanging on to the tail when it takes off? Right? What's the relationship that you want? Do you want to be inspired by it? I think I'll just have an intellectual ascent with this plane. No. What do you want? What relationship do you want with the plane when it taxis to the runway? You want to be where? In it. Why? Because when you are in it, everything that happens to the plane happens to... Right. So when it taxis down the runway, what do you do, Roger? I don't even know if that's probably not the noise it makes. That little plane makes that noise. When it takes off, you take off. When it planes out at about 18,000 feet, so do you. When it crashes into Lake Ray Hubbard... When it lands safely at Dallas, so do you. Why? Because you're an airplane? No, you're not an airplane, but your relationship is thus and so that everything that happens to the airplane happens to you. Everything that happens through Jesus happens to you. When you're in the Son of God, He belongs to you, and you belong to Him. And the Paul said in Colossians, I'm hidden with Christ in God. relationship with Him is an enormous weapon in the heavenlies. Let me show you how it works. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says this. Verse 19, it says, according to the working of God's sovereign power. Now listen. Which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and when He seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places. Now, we already talked about the heavenly places. It's the spiritual realm, right? It says that God's power resurrected Christ from the dead. It exalted Him into the heavenly places and it set Him down at His right hand. That's the seat of authority. It set Him down at His right hand. Now watch what happens. Far above all principalities and powers and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but in the ages to come, He put all things under His feet. He raised Him up. He set Him down in that seat in the heavenly places and put everything under Christ's feet. He's been given the seat of authority. Now you turn one chapter over and here's a verse that you read. And God raised us. Now that word us is you and Jesus. It's me and Jesus. Listen to this verse. God raised us up together and made us sit in the heavenly places in Christ. What does that mean? He's seated above all principalities, powers, mights, everything you can name is under His feet. And so are you. He's seated in the seat of authority. Jesus said in Acts, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. He sat down as the one that leads this whole shebang. And then God picked you up and placed you in His Son in the very same seat. You have the authority over everything that's under His feet in Him. You have to submit to none of it. So when you do submit to it, and when I do submit to it, it's because I've forgotten my divine position and the divine authority in Christ that I've been given. And I begin to think wrong thoughts and feel wrong emotions and give my authority away. The last thing I want to tell you about is this. It goes right from divine authority in Christ to this point. Remember that authority in the heat of the battle. As a result of your divine position in Christ, above all things, in the heavenly places, you've been given authority over the spiritual realm through Jesus Christ. The enemy can no longer have legal right to put their hands on you. You have the positional right in Christ to say, get away from me in Jesus' name. You have no right to put your hands on the redeemed of God. You operate in that authority or you don't. And when we don't, we open the door for an enemy that's very opportunistic to wear us out. You are in Christ. You are above them. They are defeated. They are disarmed. He has made a public spectacle of them. They have no right to put their hands on you. The enemy's desire is to manipulate your mindset so that you build strongholds in your mind. Wrong thinking, ungodly thinking. And allow those wrong thought processes to lead to manipulated emotions. And when your thoughts, your mind, and your heart are in the hands of the enemy, your feet and your hands are now going to be operating the way that they want them to. Take authority over that mess in Jesus' name. We have mighty weapons for the pulling down of strongholds. Let me illustrate it and I'm done. How many football fans? Anybody like football? I'm on that. Okay, it's not a real sport, it's not basketball. But we put up with it, right? No. On any given Sunday, you watch the football game, here comes three teams out on the field. Three teams. Say, David, you obviously are not watching football. There are three teams. There's the home team, there's the visiting team, and then there's the team wearing black and white stripes. Right? Okay. So if you take that big old defensive lineman and you set him up beside the referee, you can make some comparisons pretty quickly. This football player is bigger. stronger. Hey, in the NFL, richer, right? Way more powerful, faster. On a physical sense, just really no comparison. And I know that this is true about this relationship between the football player and the referee. Should the football player want to, because of his power and his ability, he could pummel that ref to the ground, but he's not going to do that. Why? Because though he has the power to beat him up if he wants to, he does not have the authority to put his hands on the referee. You ever see a situation where an NFL player touches the ref? You don't touch the ref. There's bad things happening when you touch the ref. Because what's he going to do? Put your hands on him, there's a yellow flag about to fly up into the air. You know what that yellow flag represents? Authority. I stand for the rules that govern this game. Foul. He throws the yellow flag, he blows the whistle, he makes the call, and he sends that big dude to the locker room. Why? Because he's more powerful? No. Because he has the authority. Now, I don't have a yellow flag to throw when the enemy touches me. But I do have a blood-red banner that I can wave over his head. And I'm telling you, I've been in days, even in the last 2 weeks, and there's some of these in this room that I love very much. You've been in these places in the last 2 weeks where the enemy's wearing out your mind, and he's holding on to your emotions, and he's moving you into the places he wants you to move where you don't want to go, and you don't know which way is up. And I'm telling you, it's time for us to stand up in Jesus and throw the red flag and say, get your hands off of me in Jesus' name. You have no right to touch the redeemed of God. I rebuke you. You must leave. Even Jesus Christ himself, the Son of God, could have looked at Satan in the wilderness and said, to the pit, get out of here. That's not how he fought him. What did he do? He said, it is written. Even the Son of God looked at Satan and said, you know what my daddy said. And Satan said, ow. So he came back again the second time. And he tried to manipulate Jesus again, one more time. No, it is written. The third time, he told him what his father had said. Satan put his tail between his legs and ran like a dog. He can't stand up to what the Father has laid out in the rule book. Stand for the word of God. Stand in the authority of Christ. Take the devil by the horns and let him know. He's doomed, he's defeated, and you're a child of the King. He's got to go in Jesus' name. Guys, come on back. I want to close with this very quickly. Tim, I want you to play play the Jesus song. You know what I'm talking about. Play Give Me Jesus. January the 1st, 1863. January the 1st, 1863. One of the most important documents in American history was signed by Abraham Lincoln. What was it? The Emancipation Proclamation. January 1st, 1863. He wrote it in his own hand. When he signed the bottom line, he had effectively freed every slave. Just like that. His pen came off the paper. They were free. Watch this. That happened on January 1st, 1863. June the 19th, 1865. Almost a year and a half later, the slaves in Texas, for the first time, found out what had happened. Year and a half. They were free and didn't know it. Because he didn't do it on Facebook Live. That's why they didn't know yet. It was... takes a while for information to travel in that day from Washington, D.C. or wherever he was down to the plantations in the Deep South. Year and a half. You know what I know? Some of you in this room right now, have been a slave to the sin, the circumstance that you've been dealing with for some time, even though 2,000 years ago, in His own blood, Jesus wrote out your Emancipation Proclamation. When He signed the bottom line, He had freed you from all of that. Yet we still, knowing that, live slaves to it. We're losing the battle. We're losing the battle. The battle of the mind, battle of the emotions, this is war. You're never going to be able to be everything that God has called you to be in this fight here on planet Earth if you're always fighting the same battle that the enemy's wearing you out with. It's time to move past those things and on to the next thing, all right? This may be your night. You say, well, what if I do all this and the circumstance doesn't change? It's not what we're after. What we're after is a change of mind. Putting our mindset back in His control, getting it out of the control of the enemy so that God begin to direct your thoughts, your emotions, and your feet. That's what we need. I want to invite you to stand up with me. Well, it's time for somebody to take authority in Jesus' name over what the enemy's been doing to you. You're not meant to live in depression. You're not meant to live in fear. You're not meant to live under addiction. You're not meant to live in bitterness, in unforgiveness. You're not meant to live that place. So quit assuming that it's just the way it's going to be. No! That's not what God wants for you.
Well, that wraps up this week's Truth Infusion with Pastor David Markham. If you missed out on any part of this week's message, or if you know of someone that would benefit from today's word of truth, simply visit us at truthinfusion.com. That's truthinfusion.com. On our radio ministry page, you're free to stream the program of your choice to your computer or mobile device. While you're on the website, you can find out more about Truth Infusion Ministries, get information about upcoming events that may be taking place in your area, or sign up for our free internet newsletter. Truth Infusion is a listener-supported radio program and is furnished by Truth Infusion Ministries. To send us any questions or comments, or if you'd like to make a donation by mail, write to Truth Infusion Ministries, P.O. Box 637, Redwater, Texas 75573, or email us at truthinfusion@gmail.com. I'm Corey Callicott. Thanks so much for joining us today. I encourage you to tune in next week for more solid biblical insight. And until then, keep seeking the truth.